listening to Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org. If you have missed any of these studies in Daniel, you can find there the last 5 days' worth of studies. This one will be up in four hours, something like that. It'll go up, so you can listen to that. But if you missed the last 2 days, we're talking about the principles for interpretation of the beasts and other symbols in Daniel and Revelation. And here we're applying those principles to Daniel and chapter 7, and it's making a lot more sense than, what is generally passed off as prophecy out there and with the futurist interpretation. Daniel continues here, and it's recorded for us in chapter 7 and verse 13. He says, "I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages would serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed." It doesn't take a whole lot of interpretation there to figure out what's going on. And that's why I always say his kingdom, that we need to cross the border into his kingdom. It's the only kingdom that will last forever, as it says here and recorded by Daniel. He is given an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom which shall not be destroyed. That means never. And Daniel goes, "And I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the four beasts, which were all diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured in broken pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn which had the eyes and mouth that spoke very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them." Daniel's giving us a little more detail here. "Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth." So is there a fifth kingdom upon the earth? No, there isn't. The fourth beast is a fourth kingdom. So we use this progression principle that we spoke of. When Rome arose, it was the body of the beast. And then after it, in the spirit of Rome, we had the heads and the horns that came up after it. And it said, and this one was diverse, of course. So he goes, "The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth." So there's no other great kingdom that comes after that. A lot of people mistakenly believe that this Antichrist power is going to rise up and we're going to have a one world government. Well, the one world government that we're going to have is already here. And here it is. We've been reading about it. It's the fourth kingdom upon the earth, and we've read about the divisions of the heads and the horns. Daniel continues here, "It shall be diverse from all kingdoms, it shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces." And that has been going on, and it's still going on. We can see here in America, definitely Roman, and part of America is now starting, is a beast that rises up out of the earth. Spoken of in Revelation, that had lamb-like qualities, but then it changes and it speaks like a dragon. We have that progression principle. First, it rises up and it has lamb-like qualities. Secondly, it speaks like a dragon, which means that it starts to create laws that persecutes the saints of a God. That's what it means to speak like a dragon. And we'll get into that when we get into Revelation. We'll discuss these principles and how they apply to the symbols and the beasts and so forth in the book of Revelation. But still, that is part of this last kingdom that comes alongside the first beast. It says, the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. We get a little more detail. He just spoke great things at first, Daniel tells us, but now we get more interpretation. He speaks against the Most High, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and he shall think to change times and laws. Where did we get the calendar that we follow today? And the week, the times. He changed the times. He changed the year. The year that from the Creator's calendar goes back to the beginning from Adam, from the creation itself. That's the beginning. And anyone looking at the calendar with that year on it, they know automatically. But now we have a calendar that is called BC, AD, which has now become before the Common Era and the Common Era, BCE and CE. So it changed the times, and it doesn't go back to the beginning, to the creation. So that fits right in with the plans of the evil one, who wants us to believe in evolution, that we've been here for millions of years. However, if our calendar plainly stated that we've only been here approximately 6,000 years, then everyone would know. There wouldn't be no BCE and CE and all of that stuff. Also, he changed not only the times of the years, but he changed the times of the day. We now begin our day in the middle of the night when there is nothing going on. We begin in the middle of a cycle where the Creator gave us cycles to begin and end the day, and he gave us cycles to begin and end the month, and he also gave us a cycle to begin and end the year. None of those being applied anymore because of the decrees. He also changed the Sabbath from the seventh day of Yahuwah's calendar, the Creator's calendar, to Sunday of his own calendar, so that now the Sabbath is on Sunday by the decree of the little horn. So he speaks great things. He changed times and he changed law. He also changed the law of God. The Ten Commandments have been changed by the Pope and by the seat of the Pope, the Vatican. So the times and laws were changed there. Also, the law, one law being the Sabbath law, of course, and of course the other Ten Commandments, they had to remove one commandment and split another commandment in two so that they'd still have 10. So you can look into that if you do a search on the difference between the Ten Commandments from the Bible and the Ten Commandments according to Catholic law. And it says, and they shall be given it into his hand until a time, and the dividing of a time, which basically here is concerning a 360-day year would be 1,260 years. If you go a time is 1 year, times is 2 years, and a half a time, which would be the 1,260 years. But the judgment shall sit, so now we're progressing here, but the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it till the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints, the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. So that we're getting a picture of what is to come and what is developing, what will be the culmination of these events. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. And that ends Daniel chapter 7. So we move on to Daniel chapter 8. And he continues here in the third year. And I don't know how much time has lapsed between this vision of Daniel chapter 7 and the third year. Okay, well, we have the third year. So we have a couple years here. I mean, it's plainly there. So to ask the question and have it answered immediately in the third year of the reign of Belshazzar. So we had the first year, Belshazzar, one vision. And the third year, we have another vision. He says, this vision appeared to me, even to me, Daniel, after that which appeared to me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, and I was by the river Ulai. And when I lifted up my eyes, and I saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. And I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him. So we know that the ram is a beast, and referring to other beasts, were whatever kingdoms or nations that he went out to war with. None stood before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will, and he became great. And I guess there the operative word would be great, because here speaking, of course, of the Medes and the Persians. And I was considering this, and behold, a he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came up, and he came to the ram that had two horns, which had been standing before the river, and ran into him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with anger against him, and smote the ram, and broke his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver out of his hand. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great. So we have great, and then we have very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken, for it came up, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. And we see the parallels here with the beasts of chapter 7. And out of the one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great toward the north, toward the south, east, and toward the pleasant land, and waxed great even unto the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the host of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. And here we see the word stamped upon, one of the characteristics. And he magnified himself even to the prince of the host. So we know that in succession, he came to the prince of the host. And of course, that is a reference to the Messiah. And by him, the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of the sanctuary was cast down. Of course, we're talking about Rome, and this, the stamping, as that's what the Rome did. And, he magnified himself to the prince of the hosts, and that was to the Messiah when he was crucified. And by him the daily was taken away, in a reference to the place of the sanctuary was cast down, the destruction of the temple. And a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of the transgression. And it came, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced, and it prospered. Okay, then he goes on, it practiced and it prospered. Then I heard one of the saints speaking, and another saint said to that certain saint which spoke, how long shall the vision concerning the daily... So we have a shift here. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said to that certain saint. So after he sees the things, now he sees two holy people. The word saint here, of course... Now, let's take a look at it. It means a sacred or an angel or a holy one. So we don't know specifically who is speaking here, but he sees in a vision and he hears one of these holy ones speaking to another one, and it said, "How long shall the vision concerning the daily sacrifice, the daily, and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot?" That's interesting. It seems there's a shift here in the, and we're gonna go through all of this tomorrow in great detail. "And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." Now this here is there is a lot of speculation and a lot of different views on what this happens, how this happens. Now a lot of people believe that the 2,300 days are to be, as with the other prophecies given in Daniel, we have the weeks, the 77s given by Daniel, and then we have the 1260, or the times time and the time times and half a time given, which refers to years. Basically, we have that adds up in history, and we see how it's played out. But in neither of those is the term days used, but the term is the time times and half a times. So it's not, it doesn't specifically say days, whereas here it actually uses in the Hebrew the word for, and I'm trying to get my mouse over to do this, it says day or dusk or night, but here it's using the word days, 2,300 days. So there's something different, and we have here a differentiation. So can we apply a principle here between this prophecy and the times given between the other prophecies? Perhaps we can. Many people don't. Many people want to say that these days actually do represent years. And we're going to discuss this in detail tomorrow and try to ferret out which one of these interpretations fit and how we should interpret this using the principles given, and whether there's a principle here that's not being applied by many people. "Because he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." Okay, preceding that, he says, "How long shall the vision concerning the daily and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot?" So we have something that's trodden underfoot. And of course, the daily is talking about the sacrificed. How long shall it be trodden underfoot? That's the question. And the to give the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot. Who is the host? Of course, the host would be the people of God, would it not? So we're talking about the national Israel, or what's left of it, of course, because we're talking about the sanctuary, or the host of the sanctuary. So there's a lot of things that we need to take into consideration here. "And it came to pass when I," in verse 15, "even I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man." So he's saying that a man stood before me, but something about this man let me know that he was only appearing as a man, that there was something different about this man. "And I heard the man's voice between the banks of Ulai," which, and that's the river, "which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said to me, Understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision." So we're talking about the vision, but when these two saints appear, they're also talking about the vision. So what the saints are talking about is not the vision itself. So I think we need to differentiate there and, you know, try to apply all of these rules. So Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. "So he came near where he stood, and when he came, he says, I was afraid, I fell upon my face. And he said to me, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision." And of course, shall be is added, but, and of course, the end of what? Of course, now what is Daniel concerned about this whole time? He's concerned about the people of God. And he continues, "Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright." And he said, "Behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. The ram which you saw having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia." I mean, so we get it clearly here now, who they are. I mean, it couldn't be clearer than this. We're being precisely told who they are. "And the rough coat is the king of Greece, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king." Of course, that would be Alexander the Great. "Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full," so we're still in their kingdom of the four, "when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up." So we're absolutely talking about Rome, or that fourth beast. "And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and holy people." So we see the progression going on here. And we've just run out of time. So we're going to pick this back up, and we're going to tear Daniel chapter 8 apart tomorrow. So don't miss that.